Afternoon, and thank you for standing by, and welcome to CDC Updates on Acute Flaccid Myelitis. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. Your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star followed by the number one to ask a question. I would now like to turn today's conference over to Kathy Harbin, Chief of CDC's News Media Branch. Kathy, you may go ahead.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you all for joining us today for an update on acute flaccid myelitis, also known as AFM, in the United States. We are joined by Dr. Nancy Messonnier. She is Director of CDC's Division of Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. She has opening remarks, and then she and her staff will be available for a Q&A period.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to talk about acute flaccid myelitis, or AFM. Today, I want to update you on CDC's work on AFM, including what we know and what we don't know about the condition, and advice for clinicians and parents. AFM is a rare but serious condition that affects the nervous system. It specifically affects the area of spinal cord called gray matter and causes the muscles and reflexes to suddenly become weak. We know this can be frightening for parents, and I know many parents want to know what the signs and symptoms they should be looking for in their child. I encourage parents to seek medical care right away if you or your child develops sudden weakness or loss of muscle tone in the arms or legs. CDC has been actively investigating AFM, testing specimens, and monitoring disease since 2014, when we first saw an increase in cases. The number of cases reported in this time period in 2018 is similar to what was reported in the fall of 2014 and 2016. Since 2014, most of the AFM cases have been among children. In 2018 so far, CDC has received reports of 127 patients under investigation, or PUIs, in 22 states, of which 62 cases have been confirmed as AFM. CDC and state and local health departments are still investigating some of these PUIs. Of the confirmed cases, the average age is about 4 years old. More than 90% of the cases are in children aged 18 years and younger. We plan to post updated PUI and AFM counts on our website this afternoon. Going forward, we will report updated case counts on our website every Monday afternoon. We expect that the case count may vary from week to week as our experts work with local and state health departments to investigate their PUIs. Based on previous years, as well as in 2018, most AFM cases occur in the late summer and fall. The data we're reporting today is a substantially larger number than in previous months this year. CDC recently received increased reports for patients suspected to have AFM with onset of symptoms in August and September. With enhanced efforts working with state and local health departments and hospitals, we were able to confirm a number of these cases faster. Also, CDC is now providing the number of patients still under investigation, or PUIs, so people can better anticipate increases in confirmed cases over the coming months. We understand that people, particularly parents, are concerned about AFM. Right now, we know that poliovirus is not the cause of these AFM cases. CDC has tested every stool specimen from the AFM patients. None of the specimens have tested positive for poliovirus. AFM can be caused by other viruses, such as enterovirus and West Nile virus, environmental toxins, and a condition where the body's immune system attacks and destroys body tissue that it mistakes for foreign material. While we know that these can cause AFM, we have not been able to find a cause for the majority of these AFM cases. There is a lot we don't know about AFM, and I'm frustrated that despite all of our efforts, we haven't been able to identify the cause of this mystery illness. But We continue to investigate to better understand the clinical picture of AFM cases, risk factors, and possible causes of this increase in cases. Despite extensive laboratory testing, we have not determined what pathogen or immune response caused the arm or leg weakness and paralysis in most of these patients. We don't know who may be at higher risk for developing AFM or the reasons why they may be at higher risk. And we don't fully understand the long-term consequences of AFM. We know that some patients diagnosed with AFM have recovered quickly, and some continue to have paralysis and require ongoing care. And we know of one death in 2017 in a child that had AFM. For healthcare professionals, we have developed a provider toolkit that contains information on AFM and instructions for reporting PUIs to the health department. CDC's website is information for families of patients with AFM, links to important resources, and a section for healthcare providers. And we will continue to post updates on our website. As a parent myself, I understand what it's like to be scared for your child. Parents need to know that AFM is very rare, even with the increase in cases that we're seeing now. We recommend seeking medical care right away if you or your child develop sudden weakness of the arms or legs. As we work to better understand what's causing AFM, parents can help protect their children from serious diseases by following prevention steps like washing their hands, staying up to date on recommended immunizations, and using insect repellent to prevent mosquito bites. While I'm very concerned about the increase in cases, I want folks to know that this work is core to CDC's mission to protect America from health threats. Thank you, and we'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you do have any questions or comments, you may press star 1. Again, that is star 1 for any questions or comments. Maggie Fox, you may go ahead.
Thanks very much. Can you talk about, a little bit more about the possible agents? You mentioned environmental toxins for the first time. I don't think I've heard that before. And can we also put this in context of how extraordinarily rare these numbers are given the overall population of children? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you for those questions. Let me start with the second. Overall, the rate of AFM over the years that it's been diagnosed, which is since 2014, is less than 1 in 1,000,000. And that's why we say that this disease is incredibly rare. In terms of the etiological causes, we're actually looking at everything. And certainly after 3 cycles of this, when we've looked through all the normal agents, we're looking beyond that to see if there are things beyond normal infectious diseases that could cause this. So, of course, we're considering environmental agents broadly. I mean, we have seen no sign of that yet, but we're open and considering all possibilities. This is a mystery so far, and we haven't solved it yet, so we have to be thinking broadly.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. That's come from Mike Stobin. You may go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So I just wanted to confirm a couple of things. First of all, did you say 90% of these cases are in children 15 and younger, 1-5? And then also I wanted to confirm there have been no deaths in these 127. Is that right? And also the 127, each of these cases are people who had paralysis or weak arms and legs. And then the last question, you talked about the rate of AFM since 2014 is less than 1 in 1,000,000. What's the denominator? 1 million kids in the U.S. or 1 million kids who have enterovirus? And I'm sorry, there's one more. You said you haven't been able to establish a cause in most of these cases, but in some of them it sounds like you have. What have you established, and how many of these cases have you determined a cause? Thanks.
Boy, that's a long list of questions. Okay, let me see if I can start with, overall, since we've started detecting these increases in 2014, there's been 386 cases. And so it's that cases over the population denominator, not those with enterovirus, that gets us less than 1 in 1,000,000. It's 18 years old, so 90% of the cases are in those 18 years of age or younger. Let's see. What are the what are the causes? So for individual cases, we've determined causes. For example, we've detected enterovirus in several of these individual cases, and there's sort of a long list of other agents that we found in one or two. But if you're having these peaks of disease every late summer, early fall, you'd think that we'd be finding a single agent, and that's what we're not finding. So for individual cases, we're finding agents, but nothing that provides the unifying diagnosis that we'd expect to explain these peaks of disease. I guess if you want to be specific, I can tell you that in several of the cases we found enterovirus, and several of the cases we found rhinovirus. It's sort of a smattering of test reports, and some of that is in the published literature. But again, this is a sort of a wide variety of causes. It doesn't explain the whole peaks of disease. I guess, Mike, did that answer all of your questions? Because there were a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry to load a big list on you. I was just trying, if you could quantify, like, of the 62 confirmed cases, like 20 of them you found something. And did you find West Nile in any of them? If there's a tally of specific numbers, I think that might be helpful.
So I'm happy for us to get to a tally. The numbers that I'm quoting for the etiologies are actually primarily from the last two clusters in 2014 and 2016, where we've had much more time to go through a long list of diagnostics. In 2018, most of these cases are really just occurring, and so we haven't finished the whole diagnostic algorithm. So the numbers that we would quote would be from the previous two clusters, although we have no reason to think that it would be different now. And the number that I gave you, the overall number of patients under investigation, are those patients for which we're looking in more depth to see if they meet the confirmed case definition. So that's the smaller number versus a larger number that I gave you. I'll stop there and see if there are more questions.
Thank you. Once again, that is star one if you'd like to ask a question, and star two to withdraw your question. Our next question comes from Helen Branswell. Please state your affiliation.
Hi. Excuse me, I'm with STAT. Dr. Messonnier, I was wondering if there are any geographic clues that you're seeing in the pattern of these infections. Do they cluster in any particular part of the country? And what about, are they being seen elsewhere? I'm fairly certain Canada has seen them, but I'm not sure if I've heard reports from Europe. So, I mean, is this unique to North America?
Yeah, thank you for both those questions and for giving me the chance to clarify. There have been reported cases of AFM in many countries, but nobody else has detected this very particular pattern of disease with these seasonal clustering every other year. And so as far as we know, that is something so far that's only been detected in the United States. In terms of clustering in the United States, many states in the U.S. have been impacted by this disease, so we're not seeing geographic clustering in 2018, nor have we seen geographic clustering in 2016 or 2014. And so we are looking for clues, but we really haven't seen it in the geography.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Betsy McKay from Wall Street Journal. You may go ahead.
Hi, thanks so much. I had a couple questions. One is, if you compare this year, 2018 so far, with 2014, is it on track, do you think, to be worse? Or, you know, is this more intense so far than 2014 or not? I saw, you know, 127 cases, but some are under investigation, whereas in 2014, at least, what CDC reported at the time was, I think, 120 people. So anyway, if you could put this year in context with 2014 and whether this is worse or not, or you think it's going to end up being worse. I know we're still not to December. And also, is AFM reportable by – it's reported voluntarily by health departments to the CDC, but is it a reportable disease by doctors to health departments? In other words, how might that be playing into the numbers?
Okay, let's take these one by one. So as you point out, in previous years, we reported confirmed cases and we didn't regularly update on the patients under investigation. We decided this year that it was really important to be able to report also the patients under investigation so folks would see what's coming. And so that may be why the numbers don't exactly line up to what you're familiar with in the previous two in 2014 and 2016. So far, we are generally on track to have number of cases similar to what we've seen in 2014 and 2016, but it would be premature to say that we're confident that we know what's going to happen since it really is early early in this. And your second
was about reportable. Yeah, what is
reportable? Yes,
is AFM notifiable, or what is the process right now?
Right. So, we work very closely with our state and local partners across a wide variety of diseases. They are very concerned about AFM, as we are, and they are working hard to identify these cases, report them, and track them. And that's something that, all across the country we're working with state and local health departments on, and we actually have a call with them later today. So we have a close partnership with them, and we know that states are concerned about AFM and that they've been reporting these patients under investigation to us.
Okay, so I guess my real question was, of the number of cases that have been reported, do you think, do you think there may be more out there that aren't being reported, and B, is awareness, maybe growing awareness of this disease affecting the numbers, causing them to be higher, or do you not think that's a factor here?
Oh, thank you for clarifying the question. This is actually a pretty dramatic disease.
Yeah.
These kids have a sudden onset of weakness, and they are generally seeking medical care and being evaluated by neurologists, infectious disease doctors, and their pediatricians, and coming to public health awareness. So it is certainly possible that there are patients out there who have disease who haven't been reported, especially if it's mild disease. We think the majority of cases are coming to our attention. That being said, one of the reasons that we're going out with this information is we do want to let patients know about this illness so that they can be aware of it and know that if their child does have sudden onset of weakness in their arms and legs, they need to seek medical care right away.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Lena Sun from the Washington Post, you may go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much for taking the call, Dr. Massonnier. Can you just sort of very simply go over what CDC does when these cases come to your attention? Like, what are you doing to investigate? And how is anything different now this year than in previous years in terms of what you guys are doing?
Sure. This is what CDC is here for, to investigate these kind of clusters of illness. And so we do have a normal protocol that we would follow. That is, when we detect these cases, we gather a whole bunch of information through our health department partners and the hospitals, as well as collecting a whole bunch of samples. And so we have a case investigation. We have expanded laboratory testing. We also have convened a number of external experts to help us think through this disease to make sure that we're doing absolutely everything we can, both clinically, epidemiologically, and also from a laboratory perspective to identify the cause. So although we have had activities all along, and this is a normal pattern of how we would investigate, we're certainly escalating our response this year to make sure that we're basically considering everything possible and doing everything that we can.
And, so just to follow up, is that external panel of experts, was that something new this year, or have you always had that external panel?
We have been consulting with experts since this began, as we would normally do when something isn't so straightforward to us. We expanded that group last year to make sure that we had, not last year, 2016, to make sure that we were considering every possibility And we're going to do the same thing this year, go back and make sure that, again, any expert that might be able to give us information is included in our discussions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Allison Aubrey from NPR, you may go ahead.
Sure. Three quick questions. Wondering if you can just circle back to the West Nile question. Have any of them been linked to West Nile this year? The other one is, I'm assuming the diagnosis is made by the onset of the symptoms, that there's not a common pathology, as you just explained. You haven't been able to link it back to any common common pathology. I was just confirming that the diagnosis is made on the symptoms. And the third one, you mentioned that some kids recover fully. There was one death. Some kids continue to have paralysis. Can you talk about the number of kids that you think make a full recovery?
Thank you for reminding me about the West Nile virus. I think it was in Mike Stobie's list of questions, and I missed it. So none of these patients have had West Nile virus. So we do not believe that West Nile virus is causing these cases. In terms of the case definition, actually, it's also a radiological finding. And so these patients have a very specific finding in their MRI scans. So it's a combination of symptoms, but also an MRI. You're right, though, since we actually don't have a pathogen identified, the case definition has to include those findings, not the identification of an actual pathogen. And in terms of the numbers, I don't have that right in front of me, but we can get back to you with some estimates from the previous two seasons.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our last question comes from Susan Skeedy from CNN. You may go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Yesterday, CNN reported 30 states reporting PUIs or confirmed cases, and you're saying 22 states. Can you explain the 8-state discrepancy?
So I think the way that I would explain this is that the 22 states that we're reporting are the states that have confirmed cases. As you know, many states across the country, as well as parents, are identifying issues in their state, and parents are talking about their own kids that may have illness. But the 22 number is the states that have confirmed cases, and that's what we'll be reporting on our website. Right, and I would say that there's going to be a delay, a lag in the timing of some of these reports. As one of the last questions asked, it's a case definition that requires review of the radiological images as well as the clinical syndrome. So there is going to be a little bit of a lag as we review those things, and there may be cases reported in the media that aren't yet confirmed at CDC, so we are going to report overall, the patients under investigation, but then the confirmed cases and the states that have confirmed cases. So.
Thanks. Dr. Messonnier now has a few final comments.
Great. Thank you, and thank you for listening today. I want to take this last moment to remind parents that AFM is a very rare condition. It's also a serious condition, so we want to encourage parents to seek medical care right away if you or your child develop symptoms of AFM, such as sudden weakness or loss of muscle tone in the arms or legs. As we work to better understand what's causing AFM, parents can help protect their children from serious diseases by following prevention steps like washing their hands, staying up to date on recommended vaccines, and using insect repellent to prevent mosquito bites. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Messonnier, and also thank you to the media who have joined us for this call. If you have follow-up questions, you can call our media line at 404-639-3286, or you can email us at media@cdc.gov. A transcript of this call will be posted later today. Thank you again for joining us. This concludes our call.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may go ahead and disconnect at this time.